Hi, I'm Mark Brody, and this is the Friday Newscap Podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
I've continued to post on my social media about things that are happening in the community, and this particular ethics complaint is about a post I made on August 5th when masked armed men were outside of a school in our community, and I simply reshared a post to let my followers know.
If they are not fixed like they weren't last time, then we will take him to court like we did last time, and we will beat him in court like we did last time.
My nightmare was that a maniac would invade a school, kill 20 kids as has happened in other states and could happen here, and there's no police officer to protect the students.
There's lots of things we can fight on. Believe me, there's things we'll be fighting on it next year. But this was too important to come together to preserve the Arizona Diamondbacks, not just in Arizona, but in downtown Phoenix.
I've said this many times. We're not going to solve this with knee-jerk reactions. We have to do a deep dive and really look at the points where the system didn't work the way it should work.
We will keep fighting in honor of the survivors who are brave enough to put themselves out there for truth and justice, and we will not back down.
And with me to talk about an ethics complaint filed in the Arizona Senate, a vote of support for the state Republican Party chair, and more, are Lorna Romero-Ferguson of Elevate Strategies. Good morning, Lorna.
Good morning.
And former congressional staffer Roy Herrera. Roy, good morning to you.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to both of you. So, Lorna, let me start with you. State Senator Jake Hoffman, chair of the Arizona Freedom Caucus, has filed an ethics complaint in the Senate against his colleague, Democratic Senator Annalise Ortiz. This goes back to the issue where the allegation is doxing, where Senator Ortiz reposted some information on her social media about ICE activity at a school in her community. Hoffman is asking for expulsion or other significant disciplinary action. What do you think comes out of this?
Well, I think this is just a broader issue of how heated this immigration debate has become. And, you know, President Trump really taking action when it comes to deportations, right? We've seen this outside of Arizona when it comes to protests and people trying to actually physically stop ICE from deporting individuals, whether those are individuals who are presenting themselves, for a court hearing or whether they're at work, et cetera. And so obviously this situation in Arizona hits a little bit more closer to home, but it does present a larger issue of doxing, right? And when it comes to law enforcement, putting individuals at risk. And so does it rise to the level of an ethical complaint or breaking the law? I know this has been referred to, you know, federal judges and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney. I have no idea. But there is a question of what is ethically correct for a current elected official to be doing when you're potentially putting law enforcement at risk. And so that's posing the question. Is there also politics involved? Of course. This is a huge political issue for Republicans and Democrats leading up to the 2026 election. But this is going to be an ongoing issue as long as President Trump's administration is having such a strong immigration enforcement action.
Well, so Roy, you are the attorney in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Is this doxing?
It is not doxing. I mean, doxing would be a situation where you'd be, you know, providing to the public or sharing to the public personal information like somebody's address, like residential address or phone number or something like that. And obviously, there's a concern about doxing because I think most people, I would like to believe all people, would believe that we don't want to have our law enforcement officers be harassed. That being said, we do have a First Amendment under the U.S. Constitution, and it is very clear that Senator Ortiz's actions here are protected by the First Amendment. And just because you may not like it, you may agree with her, may disagree with her, but it's still protected by the First Amendment nonetheless. This is akin to, you know, sharing where a speed trap might be on a highway or something like that.
Which is an analogy that she has made.
Exactly, and I think it's accurate. And at the end of the day, I find this, you know, ethics complaint, a referral to the U.S. attorney, all to be a waste of time. And ultimately, it is all about politics. And, you know, you have the Freedom Caucus and Hoffman trying to score political points on this immigration issue. But I ultimately don't think it's going to be successful, not only because, again, there's no grounds, there's no illegality there, but also because I do think most people in the public do believe that there should be public scrutiny and accountability when it comes to ICE's immigration enforcement actions, that is how we are as a country. We believe in that.
Is there a difference, though, at least in this case, between legal versus illegal and whether or not it rises to violate House or Senate rules, which is essentially what an ethics complaint is alleging? There doesn't have to necessarily be illegal activity.
That's right. So that's obviously not a civil investigation or criminal investigation. This is something that would be handled within the legislature. Now, I think an expulsion, which would result in or would need a supermajority, is just not going to happen.
And he's
right?
kind of acknowledged that he probably doesn't have the votes for that, Hoffman.
Exactly. So if there's some lesser discipline, is that possible? I assume it might be possible. I think, again, it would be unfortunate because, again, Senator Ortiz's actions are protected by the First Amendment. She should have the ability to do these things. But again, it becomes a political question, I think, ultimately, with the Republicans in the legislature.
Well, so, Lorna, how do you see the politics of this issue? Because, as you say, obviously this is a big issue for both Republicans and Democrats. And it seems like in this case, you have each side kind of doing what it is that their party does, right? Like Hoffman is out there saying, you know, ICE should be able to do whatever it wants to do without any kind of interference or anything like that. And Ortiz is saying, I'm there to protect my constituents, and I was reporting on something or telling people about something that anybody walking or driving by could see. Like, does somebody come out on top on this, do you think?
I think each side will claim that they're the victor, depending on whatever happens in the ethics committee. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how this ethics committee investigation and the hearings move forward and, you know, how Senator Ortiz handles herself and, you know, Senator Hoffman. And I know it's Senator Bullock, who's the chairman of the ethics committee, how they wish to proceed. I mean, we've seen ethics committees investigations before where they turn into a circus or there's an agreement reached beforehand, et cetera. But I think either side's going to claim victory on this because, as Roy mentioned, it's not cut and dry, right, when it comes to whether someone was doxing or if this is a First Amendment issue. And all it's going to do, in all honesty, is just kind of suck up the interim at this point. And then we'll go into session and it'll be a new topic that everyone's going to deal with going into 2026. So I don't think at the end of the day it's going to play a huge issue going into the 2026 election. I just think it's something for folks to be talking about at the current moment.
But Roy, it's an interesting point Lorna makes that assuming the investigation happens and whatever the ethics committee is going to do happens before the next legislative session, kind of a quiet time for politics, for the state legislature. Does that maybe amp up the attention on this case more so than, you know, if it were to take place, say, in January or February of next year when the legislature is in session?
It could, because it is a quiet time. And to Lorna's point, as she said a moment ago, like, immigration is obviously a hot topic. I think both sides, you know, believe that there's a way, and I'm only talking about the politics here, right, that there's a way to sort of take advantage of that. I mean, I think Democrats would say, you know, some of the actions that ICE have taken, for example, by going to, you know, standing outside of courthouses when people are trying to comply with, you know, their court orders and detaining them there, or going into schools or going into churches to detain people, are not things that most Arizonans or most Americans want to see. And so the more that happens, the more that's going to be pointed out by Democrats. And of course, Republicans, particularly like the Jake Hoffman types, are going to see it a different way and want to continue to press this. And so it wouldn't surprise me. We're going to continue to have this immigration debate, you know, throughout this quiet period, but then also even next year in an election year.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be kind of surprising not to hear about immigration in an election year at all, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you can already see sort of that's going to be part of the playbook on the Republican side because we're, you know, judging this by their actions related to this, even this ethics referral.
Well, in Arizona, immigration is always a top three issue, regardless of what cycle you're looking at. And so, yes, immigration and, you know, border security. And I think Republicans are going to be able to point to some significant wins, right, under the Trump administration and being able to point to how they were deported criminal illegal immigrants and whatnot. And Democrats are obviously going to talk about them going too far and criminalizing innocent individuals, et cetera. I just don't think the specific ethics complaint is going to be on mail pieces or being talked about next cycle. But the larger issue, of course, will.
Yeah.
And I do think that Republicans are going to stand strong when it comes to the support of law enforcement, making sure that elected officials of either party aren't doing anything that's going to put law enforcement at risk.
So, Lorna, let's go from an ethics complaint to a threatened lawsuit. This week, State Senate President Warren Peterson, with House Speaker Steve Montenegro sort of on board with this, threatened to sue the Secretary of State, Adrian Fontes, over potential changes to the Election Procedures Manual, which is basically the guide for how counties should be running the election, taking state law and like sort of going through the nitty gritty detail. I mean, it's worth noting that in the past, Fontes has had to change it because judges have ruled that he's gone too far. In this case, so like the comment period isn't even over, like the final version isn't even out yet. And Peterson is already saying what you're doing is not right.
Yeah, I mean, one, as you mentioned, this wouldn't be the first time that somebody has sued against, you know, the Secretary of State because of election procedure manual. I think the past few election cycles, it's become a little bit more of a political hot potato than maybe in the past. It used to be much more administrative in nature and not as many people paid attention. But yeah, Adrian Fontes has in the past put some items in the elections procedure manual that went beyond his given duties from the Arizona legislature, right? And so is Warren Peterson getting ahead of it? Of course. I think it kind of makes sense to do it before the comment period ends. Maybe there's a potential that Adrian Fontes makes those modifications. Who knows? I highly doubt it. But, I mean, it's definitely something worth talking about since Republicans are really focused so much on election integrity going into the 2026 election and making sure the Secretary of State is not overstepping, you know, his authority. So, I mean, it's not surprising. This has happened before in the past, but it's just a question of how this all plays out.
Why do you think it makes more sense for Peterson to do this now as opposed to waiting to see what's in the EPM and then maybe getting outraged about what's actually in it?
I mean, I know in the past there were complaints of that, you know, Secretary Fontes didn't give enough time during the comment period. I think that was corrected by a previous court decision and whatnot. But making it be known now, I'm kind of putting the pressure on him early. I mean, from a political standpoint, it makes sense. Warren Peterson's running for office, right? Mm-hmm. And he's also trying to get ahead of the upcoming session where he is the current, you know, Senate president, where this is going to be an issue that his caucus is going to continue to be concerned about. And so if there's an opportunity to put public pressure right now and be able to make some changes, great, before having to file a lawsuit. Makes sense. It saves everybody money. But I mean, it's not really surprising to me that the strategy that he's taking.
Smart political move, Roy?
Well, I think it is all politics. I mean, Peterson is running for attorney general. I think it is performative to be sending, you know, not only it's one thing to be sending comments and saying we disagree because this is the comment period. And mind you, the EPM is a very complex document. It's very dense,
kind of
very
wonky.
Long. It's very wonky. It takes both the Secretary of State, the governor, and the Attorney General all to, you know, agree. There's obviously a public comment period related to this. And so it'd be one thing if Peterson was just sending in a letter to say, hey, I disagree with your interpretation here, and I'd like to see these changes before the final version. But him threatening to sue and saying that I think, you know, Fontes is lawless, I think that was the term he used, shows to me that this is completely performative and it's all about politics because we still haven't seen the actual final version of the EPM. And the other thing that Peterson says, you know, quite frequently is like we've sued before and won. And that is true in some instances. Republicans have sued Fontes over the EPM and won, but they've also sued Fontes over the EPM and lost, right? So that's happened before. And so ultimately, if the EPM's final version is not what Peterson likes, he's going to be free to go to court and the judge is going to decide. But just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's illegal at this point. And that's what we're seeing. That might be the theme of the day, actually. Just because you don't like it, it may not be illegal.
Put that on a bumper sticker. I mean, there's nothing wrong with putting along with your concerns and comments that if these aren't rectified, you do have an intention to sue, right? I don't think there's anything new or exciting about that. And there's nothing wrong with being able to just let them know up front that, hey, take these concerns seriously, because if they're not addressed, we do intend to sue. So, I mean, I think Warren Peterson's being smart about it and letting it be known up front how concerned he is about certain provisions in the EPM.
Lorna, let me start with you about a vote in the Maricopa County Republican Party in support of the state Republican Party Chair Gina Swoboda. She, of course, has been called on by two of the state's national Republican committee members to resign or be removed. How significant is it that the Republican Party in the biggest county in the state said, no, we think she's doing a good job?
It's incredibly significant. As we saw over the course of the past week, I think different counties made public their letters of support for the current chairwoman, Swoboda. And, I mean, the Maricopa County GOP has a tendency to sometimes be a little bit far right on some of their approaches we've seen in the past. And it just goes to show that Senator Hoffman and the folks from Turning Point did not have the sway that they thought they did, especially when it comes to the Maricopa County GOP and them having a pretty significant vote in support of the current chairwoman. So it just goes to show that this perceived Republican infighting that we probably saw on social media and Twitter over the past few weeks didn't really garnered that much grassroots support that probably some of those Turning Point folks thought.
Do you think this is in some way an indication of the power that the Turning Point folks, the Jake Hoffmans of the world, actually have within the party?
I mean, it depends. Some people might say that this was a big loss for them. Some people might say this was kind of a crapshoot. I think they kind of just threw it out into the universe to see what would happen, not necessarily thinking it would be realistic. I mean, Gina has a lot of support, and she's coming off of an election cycle where Republicans and the AZ GOP were incredibly successful during a year where Democrats thought that they were going to overtake at least one chamber at the state legislature, if not two, and pick up a number of different seats. And obviously you had, you know, the Trump-Harris battle and whatnot. Republicans were very successful in Arizona, which they had not been in a number of, you know, previous election cycles. And so building off of that win and seeing how supportive the chairwoman has been of other county parties just goes to show that her support is much deeper than Turning Point thought when they were throwing out these allegations and calls for resignation.
So, Roy, do Democrats have to stop popping the popcorn at this point?
Well, I mean, this is one of the few instances, maybe the only instance, where I was sad that Turning Point didn't have the power to do something that they wanted to do because, you know, I think considering the alternatives, I think Gina is probably the best at that particular job that Republicans could have, right? And so as a Democrat, I'd obviously rather see people be worse at that job. So the fact that she's still there is probably not good. I would have liked the infighting to continue. But, you know, political parties in Arizona wouldn't be, you know, political parties here unless they had that kind of infighting. And so we've seen that there. But at the end of the day, I mean, next year there's going to be obviously all the statewide offices up. To Lorna's point, the legislature will be up. And so the amount of money and effort both sides is going to be enormous. The millions and millions of dollars are going to come in. So having a party infrastructure, I think the Democrats have righted the ship there, is really important for victory next year.
Lorna, when you talk about infighting and maybe it's over, we also have to bring up the point that Jake Hoffman has sort of his slate of candidates mm-hmm. for some of these offices where he has, for example, Superintendent of Public Instruction and Corporation Commissioners. He has sort of the Freedom Caucus Republicans going up against other Republicans, in some cases incumbent Republicans. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, like, does this really signify the end of sort of the battle between the Freedom Caucus and the rest of the state GOP?
Of course not. And this has been a longstanding issue. There's always been this underlying tension within the Republican Party of more of the far right Freedom Caucus and the candidates they support versus more of the mainstream middle of the road Republicans who tend to be more successful for statewide races, right? So yeah, there's always going to be this slate of Freedom Caucus or further right candidates. That's just been the norm in Arizona for multiple election cycles. I do think it's going to come down to, I think this is why it's so important that Gina retain her position, is because she's looking at it from a statewide perspective, right? What is best for the party at large? And how can we come off of 2024 with the wins that we had going into an election cycle, like Roy mentioned, where all of the statewide electeds are up mm-hmm. and Republicans were pummeled the last time all of the statewides were up, probably shockingly because the AZ GOP infrastructure was not as strong as it is today, right? So I think she's really going to have to focus on ignoring that noise. Maybe some of those folks are successful in a primary, maybe they're not. And then if they are trying to figure out how do you make them successful in a general election, which has always been the struggle in Arizona when some of those far right Freedom Caucus individuals have come out of the primaries, the Republican nominee.
Sure. Roy, we spoke of Secretary of State Adrian Fontes just a few moments ago. Let me go back to him because earlier this week, he rejected a request from the federal government, the Justice Department, for information on the state's voter registration list and its maintenance procedures of that. Back to some of the comments you made earlier about, you know, there are politics involved in some of these things. Is that the case here, do you think?
Well, I think his response in rejecting the request expressed some serious concerns about privacy interests, right? I mean, his concerns about the fact that, you know, this is very sensitive information he'd be providing to the DOJ and that he believes that under the law he doesn't have to provide it to them. And I think it's also important to consider why I believe DOJ is asking for this information, because I think at the end of the day, what DOJ is doing, particularly this DOJ, the Trump DOJ, is trying to continue to sort of perpetuate a myth, and that is the myth of non-citizens or a bunch of non-citizens voting in U.S. elections. That's just not something that happens here. But nonetheless, they're still pursuing this idea because it does form the basis, I think, of continued election denialism from the 2020 election. You know, they still don't acknowledge, you know, the results of that election and believe that there's something that went wrong there. And I think this request, this type of investigation, is all part of that effort. But again, you know, the Secretary of State, I think, rightfully responded and said, hey, I really am concerned about the privacy interests. I need to know more about what you're going to do with this information, how you're going to protect it, and go from there.
Well, he also made some arguments that it might not be legal to hand over that information.
Exactly. Under the NVRA, which is federal law,
the National Voter Registration Act.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That he wouldn't be allowed to even share it under that. And so perhaps the DOJ has a response to that, and we'll see. But again, I think it's a rightful, you know, response to have these concerns.
Lorna, you probably wouldn't have expected anything different, right?
No, of course not. But in all honesty, I do think, you know, Secretary Fontes is doing his due diligence. This is not a request that's typically made by the federal government, right? So, and this is very confidential, sensitive voter information. And so how is it going to be handled? Like Roy mentioned, what are you doing with this information? And we can't we can't forget that this is part of the broader context of what happened in the 2020 and 2022 elections, where people think that, you know, the elections were stolen from certain Republicans, et cetera. And like Roy mentioned, this ongoing belief that illegal immigrants are voting. And so, you know, I think if it was outside of that context, maybe the response from Secretary Fontes might be a little bit different. But I do think those are legitimate questions that need to be answered by the DOJ.
Roy, just about a minute left. Do you think when Lorna talks about context, do you think Fontes was also taking into account the context of, here's a president who wants to do away with mail-in balloting and also believes that states are agents of the federal government when it comes to elections?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the other undercurrent here. I mean, we've seen the president say that he's going to get rid of, you know, mail-in voting. That obviously, you know, 80% of Arizonans vote that way. And he doesn't have the authority to do that under, you know, any type of law. Elections are run by the states. That's in the U.S. Constitution. And so I think it's all part of that. Whether we see this eventual executive order, I don't know. I think we will see some version of it. But Fontes has been very clear in responding to that that announcement that he will fight against that, and that is not something the president will do. And if that takes going to court, that's what he's going to do. So there's a distrust here, obviously, that Fontes has with what this Trump administration is doing. And I think, again, that's you know, rightfully so, because of some of the things that the president is saying.
All right, guys, we'll have to leave it there. Roy Herrera, Lorna Romero-Ferguson, thanks you both. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's biggest stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Mark Brody. Thanks for listening.